This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. It's the official credit union of Three and Out, the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union.
All right, you got Notre Dame's coach.
All right.
You teased it. Don't forget.
You said fit is important. You might have said that in the break. Like you said, that's why fit's important.
Well, what I was saying was, it's amazing to me that LSU players are going to go from Ed Orgeron, who is a player's coach, right? Have some fun, enjoy it, work really hard. You know, he's going to chew you out, and then you're going to be able to kind of do whatever you want, laissez-faire. And now they're going to go to Brian Kelly. It's going to go from like Bayou Party to prison at LSU. Just a hunch.
So I was thinking yesterday about the Notre Dame position, and you know there was a time period where people were thinking that Notre Dame might go the way of Nebraska, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even some people have even made that case about Tennessee, which
yes.
I think is a complete farce and just mainly just people trying to.
I think
take shots.
The closer you are to the recruiting hotbed of the Southeast, the easier it is to maintain. Tennessee's in a good spot. Notre Dame's in an okay spot. Nebraska's in a terrible spot. They're just in the middle of nowhere. There's no talent in and around Nebraska.
Notre Dame has said that they grade their guys on, like, national championships. Like, basically, they're saying, yeah, Tyrone Willingham, you had a 10-win season, but that's not good enough. You're fired. Charlie Weiss, you had a 10-win season. That's not good enough. You know, eventually, you're fired. I mentioned Bob Davie. He came before Willingham. He was never any good. 9-3 at best. Fired. Lou Holtz before that won a national championship. He's the last successful Notre Dame head coach in their minds until Brian Kelly got them to the title game. They got blasted. Got them to playoff.
They got blasted.
And so it doesn't sound like, at least the AD, maybe he's doing damage control, maybe not, but said, hey, 12 years is a long time. He fixed the program. We're on solid footing now. We got to hire the next guy. So I was thinking during yesterday's show, Notre Dame needs kind of a Notre Dame fit, like a Midwesterner, like a nice, solid, stable, you know, manly man kind of coach, play some defense. Keep the thing rolling, beat who you're supposed to beat, take advantage of an easy schedule. Maybe you get lucky and win one, right?
Sure.
I thought more about it, though, Houston. That's not the direction they should go.
Oh.
Notre Dame already has the stability. They already have the ability to schedule whoever they want. So they can craft a schedule that's good enough to get you there, but kind of avoids those super dangerous matchups to where you're probably going to get blasted or lose if you're out talented. So let the program handle that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
What does Notre Dame need to actually win a national championship? They need a guy that can go get a couple studs from California, a couple studs from Texas, a couple studs from Florida, the one random good player out of like, you know, Maryland or Delaware, some guy, you know, some God knows where just pops up and everybody's in on because the local schools aren't good enough to even take him. That's who Notre Dame needs. That's why Notre Dame used to be good, because everyone knew what Notre Dame was because they were on NBC. Everyone watched Notre Dame. Notre Dame was the first non-regional college football brand, right? They need a guy that everybody knows his name. They need a guy that has that spice. That guy that's dynamic.
Spice.
That guy that will go out and get those. I mean, Notre Dame gets good tight ends. They get good guards and tackles. They can get a good linebacker here or there. They need a guy that'll go get, well, number one, a top two or three quarterback in the country, right? Mm-hmm. If Notre Dame had Trevor Lawrence instead of Clemson a few years ago, maybe things are different. Maybe Notre Dame is the team that knocks off Alabama. If Notre Dame has Tua Tagovailoa or has, you know, some of those, you know, Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
like when's the last time Notre Dame had the number one best quarterback in the country, the number two or three best quarterback in the country? It feels like their teams have been really solid.
It's been a long time.
They had a dynamic quarterback. Maybe that puts them over the top. So, who's the national name? Who's a quarterback guru? Who can go recruit and has ties to California? Who's been in Florida? Who's been in the Southeastern Conference? Who can go up to Notre Dame and put them over the top?
You're going to say Lane Kiffin.
It's Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you kidding me? We did the talent rankings. Ole Miss is less talented this year, I believe. I may have this wrong. It's at least close. Davey can correct me if I'm wrong. But wasn't Ole Miss less talented this year than Tennessee on paper?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where did they have a big advantage?
Quarterback. And faking injuries. And officiating. Just saying, just keeping it real.
No, I mean, all of those are great signs for Tennessee that Ole Miss is maybe their toughest game they won was here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a tough night. They gutted one out, whatever. And I was actually super impressed. I was at the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the Tennessee sideline, so we could see the Ole Miss sideline. One of the things that I think Lane Kiffin wasn't very good at, even when he was here and early in his career, was his program wasn't very well organized. Because he's not very well organized. Nick Saban said so. But I feel like as he's gotten older, as he's had some failures, it seems like he's allowing his assistant coaches to handle all that. And Ole Miss, you know, hate them for it if you want, but they were super organized on how they were subbing in the Tennessee game. I mean, so much that they had the gray area cheating going on, and it worked.
Ole Miss is 27th.
What was Tennessee? 22nd?
19.
19, okay.
So close.
Notre Dame, 12th.
Like, you hire Lane Kiffin, and you say, go get me a California quarterback. Go get me a Florida quarterback. Go get me a Texas quarterback. Bring them up here where we have guys that we can pull out of Michigan and Ohio and Indiana and Illinois to play offensive line, to play linebacker, to play defense. Get me two good receivers, a dynamic quarterback, you know, maybe a corner or safety. Like, give me some skill guys up here. Give me some Florida guys.
This might surprise you, but do you know who's right behind Notre Dame in the team talent rankings?
No. Who was that?
Miami.
We said that he'd be a great fit at Miami, but when you think about fit, like, the strength of Notre Dame's program is that other stuff. You need to bring in a coach that gives you what you're missing. Don't bring in a coach that just makes your strength stronger. What's the point in that? Let the Midwest get you the Midwestern type of you know, the Big Ten players. Have Lane Kiffin bring you the SEC guys, and boom, Notre Dame's got the best of both worlds. They're back on the national map. Dude, can you imagine undefeated Lane Kiffin and it's Notre Dame, Michigan playing Harbaugh, who's coming off a playoff appearance maybe? You want to be the talk of the town, Notre Dame? You want to be back to – you want to – I mean, Luke Fickell, I mean, come on.
It's definitely something they've never done. You know what I'm saying? Like, when's the last time Notre Dame had what you would consider a dynamic head coach, like personality-wise?
Well, you're going to think I'm nuts. You're going to think I'm crazy because most people that are listening to this program right now are going to remember him from college football final or whatever. But the last time they hired a guy of the SEC that was kind of a weird dude and could do that was Lou Holtz, 1986. And my man won a national title undefeated in his third year. He took a 5-6 took over a 5-6 team. They went 5-6, 8-4, 12-0. And they went 12-1 the next year too and finished second. It's the last time they've won one. It's the last time they got there. Is with Lou Holtz. And didn't he come from Arkansas? Wasn't he at Arkansas when he went to Notre Dame?
Something like that. It'd be outside the box.
No, I'm sorry. He was at Arkansas. He went to Minnesota for 2 years and then Notre Dame.
Well, we've been talking about fit. Does that fit? And at this point, does that matter?
It doesn't fit the way people think of fit when they say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's kind of like what you said about LSU. Like, Ed Orgeron almost allows LSU to be the bad LSU. I mean, they when Joe Brady came in and they had Burrow and it worked great. But the LSU kind of culture is to be super talented and then eventually underperform. And that's what happened.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think 20, 30 years ago, Notre Dame needs a stable head coach, a smart guy, and they can get the players and they can win the game. You know, they can be right there. But now, like, the special sauce for Notre Dame is not what it used to be.
Got
to
make Notre Dame cool again.
Mm.
Who's the coolest guy in college football? I mean, hell, if they don't lose to Auburn, man, they're in the playoff. I mean, if they don't lose to Auburn, they're in the playoff.
Yeah.
Or they're close. I mean, depending on what happens this weekend. Right? I mean, everybody's debating Ole Miss or Notre Dame at 6 if Ole Miss had beaten Auburn, if they were 11-1. And everybody would say, well, if Oklahoma State loses to Baylor, Ole Miss will definitely jump them. And if Cincinnati loses to Houston, Ole Miss will definitely jump them. And if Alabama loses their second one to Georgia, I know they beat Ole Miss head-to-head, but we're going to have that conversation. You know, it'd be a thing.
I don't hate it.
And of course, Michigan.
I'd like him out
too.
Of the SEC just because I don't want Arch Manning to go to Ole Miss. And I don't think that there's no way they could do better than Lane Kiffin if he were to leave right now.
Tennessee has to play Notre Dame next year. Who are you most afraid of? Luke Fickle coaching Notre Dame? Marcus Freeman coaching Notre Dame?
No, it's not
Matt
close.
Matt LaFleur coaching Notre Dame?
It's not close.
Lane Kiffin.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Which is why I wanted him here last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's he gives them what they don't have. Why? I do feel like a little bit of a hypocrite because I do feel like, you know, you want to have an identity, you know, and you want your guy to kind of match that identity. But at the same time, you can't just remain a dinosaur, you know. Like you have to adjust to the modern game. That's we say it all the time. That's why Nick Saban's the best, right? I mean, he doesn't still run pro style because he won a national title with it, you know, 15 years ago.
He bitched about it for 2 years and then did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan's not number two in the country because they still run, you know, Jim Harbaugh's offense that he ran back with the 49ers. I mean,
I don't know. They kind of do. Did you watch that Ohio State game? They just ran it right at their face.
They ran it a lot, but not really. I mean, they burned them the most on the jet sweeps to the outside. Mm. You know,
they're still running the ball.
But yeah, they spread them out and then they gashed them with different concepts. I mean, it's I don't know. Like if it is Luke Fickle, you know, maybe that's a great hire. Maybe that's the best of both worlds. Maybe that's the
no. But I'm with you. Like it'll look good on paper, and everyone will give him credit for it. But it's just a warm water hire. Like, do we think Luke Fickle is going to be a better version of Brian Kelly? Based on what? Right, like at least with Lane, it might flame out right in this amazing explosion of chaos, but it might also just work and win you a national championship, which you've been chasing since Holtz did it. It's a high risk, high reward hire.
I tuned out for a good portion of this. So
there's a stunner. If I
repeat something, the one thing with Brian Kelly that kind of struck me is what was ultimately his downfall for today's college football. he never had that elite guy at quarterback. He just always seems to have a game manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Luke Fickell, I know they got Desmond Ridder right now, and I haven't watched enough of Cincinnati to really tell you, like, I know he can be explosive at times, but does he have that skill set as the guys that Fickell's gone out and had play quarterback before? Do they fall into that more traditional game manager role, or is it like, hey, we got this guy who possibly could be like a Heisman candidate? And because, I mean, we know with Kiffin, he's got that swag about him whenever it comes to the quarterbacks he's worked with.
Well, a big problem for Brian Kelly, too, is like Notre Dame for years has had pretty good receivers, pretty good running backs, but they've won games on the line of scrimmage. They protect the passer. They run the football. If you could get some dynamic playmakers up there, you might be able to attract that five-star, you know, game breaker at quarterback. But no, I mean, they get that Midwest four-star guy who's pretty good, who can move around a little bit, who can throw it okay, and they win a lot of games with it. But they haven't had, to your point, I mean, like, is Brady Quinn the last, like, Notre Dame Heisman candidate
Jimmy.
Type? Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, Jimmy Clausen.
He was supposed to be, but he was never really that good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, when they got Jimmy Clausen, he was the LeBron James of high school mm-hmm. football.
I mean,
but
he was good enough for Mel Kiper to go on a limb after his college career saying, if he's not a stud in the NFL, I'll quit my job.
Well, he's still there, and he was not a stud in the NFL. I'm just saying, like, with play on the field, like, I don't know the numbers. I feel like Brady Quinn had a better career than Jimmy Clausen. I could be wrong. But I'm just trying to agree with you. They haven't had a dynamic quarterback.
No, I'm with you. I just.
I mean, hell, that's been Tennessee's problem for a long time. In years where Tennessee gets halfway damn decent quarterback play, we're going to win 7 or 8 games.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, it's, yeah. It's,
we
it's,
won 8 with Jarrett Garantano getting benched and brought back in and benched and brought back in. We won 9 twice with Dobbs. Now, neither of those guys are super elite college level quarterback, but they were pretty damn good. At times, especially Dobbs, not so much JG. But what happened this year? We got Hendon Hooker. All of a sudden, he's playing out of his mind. You got 7 games. You got 8 on the table with the ball. That's what you have to have. I mean, look at the teams. With the exception of Georgia, because they are an anomaly, right? We are going to rely on our defense and run the football and hit you with some play action. But Bryce Young, Matt Corral. I guess Michigan's a little different. What's that guy's name? McNamara?
Cade McNamara.
Yeah. He's fine, but they almost lost to Ohio State because they kept throwing the damn ball. Then it was like, hey, if we just hand it off, it'll work fine. Well,
that's what's interesting to me about Georgia, if like they do get in a close game. I know they had the close game against Clemson at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that was in their head, though, because we know Clemson wasn't that good.
Yes, but the offense for Georgia. And you've not seen them have to make plays.
They didn't in that game.
No, I mean, they scored 3 points on offense.
Right.
Pick 6, won on the game.
Yeah. And at that time, they were going with JT Daniels. And that's what I was saying. I don't think at that point they knew that Clemson wasn't going to be Clemson. So I wonder how much of that was the pucker factor for Kirby.
Yes, but I guess the point I want to make is, like, for the playoff or Saturday for that matter, like, how is Georgia actually going to respond offensively in a close game if they get against a team to where their defense isn't playing at the level we've seen
so
far?
I don't think it would take a close game. I think with a close game, he gets conservative and, you know, they just try to lean on the defense. The question for me is if they get down.
Okay,
drill. If they get down 10, because Tennessee held the lead on them, right? What was it? Was it 7-3? Was it 10-7?
No, it's just so early. Like,
no, I know.
Like, yeah, if we can get that in the third
quarter. By the way, do you know Tennessee had a lead in every game this year at some point?
Huh.
That's pretty wild, huh? But no, I want to see them down, you know, a touchdown in the fourth quarter or 10 points at some point in the game, because that just hadn't happened. Because at that point, I think Kirby Smart down his leg is what I think. Because I think he sees it all crumble right in front of him. But no, to your point, yeah, like, it might not work. But I think it has you have a better chance of winning a national championship in the next 5 years with Lane Kiffin than Luke Fickell, if you ask me right now.
Well,
what's their goal?
And definitely if you don't get Luke Fickell. I mean, if you're going with one of these other, like, just
right.
stable, boring hires, like, I mean, come on.
They need a little juice.
I mean, you know, Notre Dame's quarterback in 1988 was a guy that went to my high school, Tony Rice. My high school had great wishbone offenses. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose a game his junior or senior year, just dominated. He goes and runs the option for Lou Holtz, wins the national championship, undefeated, 12-0 his junior year. Senior year, they went 12-1, finished second in the country. They had Rick Meyer after that, really good quarterback.
Rick Meyer was good.
They brought in, after that, it was Ron Paulus, who was supposed to be the, I mean, he was the Arch Manning back then. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be the guy. Got to start at Notre Dame as a true freshman, which was unheard of. Had a rough year, then had a couple okay years. And then after that, it's just been failure after failure after failure. Brady Quinn was decent. Jimmy Clausen, okay. Then a bunch of no-name guys. And, you know, Ian Book, pretty good game manager, smart kid, whatever. You know, Jack Cohn this year, kind of the same thing. But they have, I mean, they haven't had a win-you-the-game quarterback since, you know, the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, who? I guess Georgia can win the national championship this year without a dynamic quarterback, but I don't know that teams outside the Southeast can win national titles without having a dynamic quarterback. And most of the time, you need both. Like, like Georgia, Alabama have a certain level of talent, right, that they can get because they're in the Southeast and they can recruit those types of players. If Lincoln Riley's going to win a national title at USC, it's not going to be because his defensive line's really, really good.
Right.
You know, it's going to be because he's got the right mix of skill guys and gotten some – it's going to be more like the Clemson plan. Have a Trevor Lawrence.
No, that's why I really like the fit of Lincoln Riley. Like that offense and being exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, that's your best shot.
And that seems to be the way the game's kind of going, you know.
Yeah. We'll come back with more Hour 2. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 rolls on, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick up some White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Yeah, it's coaching carousel. It's going to be wild. Games this weekend, Oregon, Utah, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Utah State, San Diego State, App State, and Louisiana. Georgia, Alabama, Houston, Cincinnati, Michigan, Iowa, and Pittsburgh, Wake Forest. Playoff rankings came out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Any surprises for you guys?
Hey, real quick before we get to that.
Yeah.
Did you see the contract details for Lincoln Riley?
Yes.
Did you see that Southern Cal is buying both of his homes in Norman for $500,000 over asking price?
We talked about this yesterday. Do you listen to the show?
Did we really?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, yes, I saw it. And yes, we talked about it yesterday.
Sorry. Unlimited use of a private jet?
Did we really talk about it, though? Or did we just say we were going to talk about it?
We listed them.
Okay.
So I remember pulling it up and then saying it into the microphone.
All right, go ahead. Sorry. Playoff rankings.
Well,
whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean,
Brian? The Brian Kelly details are out. He got a loan for his house, like $1.5 million loan.
He also gets $500,000 every year they make a bowl. I'm all for incentive-based contracts, but come on.
I mean, they made a bowl this year.
I know.
Yeah. Pretty ridiculous. Georgia's one, Michigan's two.
Big jump.
I think everybody expected that.
Is that fair? A lot of people were mad that Bama won. Why did Michigan jump so many spots to two? Because Bama didn't look good doing it, and Michigan ran all over the number two team in the country.
I mean, yeah, Michigan State beating Penn State helped Michigan as well, I think, since that's their one loss. Alabama, yeah, I mean,
I don't have a problem.
It doesn't really matter, those two anyway. Alabama's at three. Cincinnati's at four now. Holding steady in playoff position. Oklahoma State.
I feel bad for Cincinnati. Like, you really don't control. I mean, you lose and you're out, but if you win, you still got to wait.
Yeah. I mean, if Alabama beats Georgia and Oklahoma State beats Baylor, Cincinnati might just get squeezed to five. Because it was a pretty big signal that the committee sent by jumping Oklahoma State over Notre Dame. We all knew that would happen if they won out and were the Big 12 champ. But to say that an 11-1 Oklahoma State right now is better than an 11-1 Notre Dame, I think is a very bad sign for Notre Dame.
Well, and I think what they're just setting the precedent for is, look, if Oklahoma wins the championship, they're probably in, and Notre Dame now knows, like, hey, you're –
Notre Dame needs a couple teams to lose.
They need Oklahoma State to lose. They need Cincinnati to lose. Those two, right?
Or Alabama or Michigan. They could probably jump any of those.
But don't they need two? I mean, they're at six. They need two teams.
Yeah, they
to
need
lose.
Two of the they need two of the four teams ahead of them to lose. Right. Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State. Any of those teams could lose. Mm-hmm. They need those teams to go 2-2 this weekend or worse. And it still might not be enough. Like, if Cincinnati loses on a last-second field goal to Houston, and let's say Alabama loses, but Oklahoma State wins. So let's say Michigan wins. So it's Georgia 1, very clearly, undefeated. Michigan 2, Big Ten champ, one loss, very clearly. Oklahoma State goes all the way to 3.
Yeah.
Big 12 champ, 12-1, whatever. And the fourth spot comes down to 12-1 Cincinnati against 11-1 Notre Dame. But Cincinnati lost
without,
this past weekend
without
to
their
Houston
coach,
with a field goal.
Without their coach that they've already said and, does weigh in.
And Cincinnati beat Notre Dame.
I think it'd have to be Cincinnati at that point. They played the extra game. They beat you in Notre Dame.
Yeah, like I don't.
You had your coach that time. You wouldn't have him this time. I still think it's Cincinnati for me.
Like you got to go with head to head there, right?
Have to,
but the committee will say, "Well, Notre Dame's a better team, or Cincinnati's a better." How can
Cincinnati might be the better team, but they also might say Notre Dame is going to have a lot of eyeballs, make us more money.
Who knows? Yeah. Now, for Notre Dame to get in, I almost think it's better if Alabama and Oklahoma State both lose, and Cincinnati just wins, and they put Cincinnati at 3 and Notre Dame at 4.
So that would be Notre Dame, Georgia. That would be a slaughter.
Michigan, Cincinnati.
That one would be kind of fun. I'd like to see that game.
Give me a percent chance Cincinnati could actually win this year's national championship.
Oh, the whole thing?
Two?
Yeah,
if they don't have to play Georgia, Georgia gets upset in the first round, and then they get whoever else is left.
If they get to the 3 seed and they're able to beat the 2?
Yeah, but what's the chances of that happening? What's the chances of, like, because this scenario, Cincinnati's the 4 and Georgia's the 1.
Alabama loses. Oklahoma State loses. That's all you really need to get to the 3.
Wait, what?
For Cincinnati to get to 3.
They just need one team to lose to get to the 3. That's easy.
Well, I still think if Alabama.
He's saying who's going to beat Georgia in round one of the
playoffs. I mean, if Cincinnati has a 2% chance of winning, what's the percent chance of someone beating Georgia?
Actually,
that isn't Alabama.
And then Cincinnati still has to beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Oklahoma State.
Isn't Georgia a good fit, actually, for them?
Maybe Oklahoma State.
For
Cincinnati.
Can Oklahoma State beat Georgia?
You know, that's the one that I've thought is kind of interesting. What if it's Oklahoma State this whole time? What if they really – I mean, their defense is really good.
Yeah.
Their offense is explosive, can pressure you. They've got athletes. I would like to see that game. At this point.
You kind of want Oklahoma State in to see what they can do.
I mean, don't you?
We've never seen it, right?
Don't you, if they,
Mike Gundy's
if,
never been
if
on
they
the
win,
stage.
They're in. And I think maybe they have the firepower. I mean, saw this with when, you know, Oklahoma jumped out to a big lead against Georgia that one year in the Rose Bowl.
Went to overtime, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that was a much more dynamic offense for Georgia than this year's.
Since Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State, they have been, you know, either pretty dominant or, of course, bedlam this past week, which is, I mean, I still think Oklahoma's a pretty good team. That's a good win.
No, of course they are. Yeah, yeah. They're getting credit for it.
You know, they beat Kansas, who has given some teams struggles. They beat Kansas 55-3. So, I mean,
Oklahoma State did?
Yeah, so that's
I mean, yeah, Oklahoma was on the mat for a little bit against Kansas.
That's taking care of business. They went to West Virginia and won 24-3.
Defense is good.
Yeah. TCU, they beat 63-17. They went on the road to Texas Tech and won 23-0. And then Bedlam was 37-33, and then it's Baylor this weekend. So if they can perform
and they,
well again.
They have not played Baylor yet, correct? No, they had to.
They beat Baylor 24-14 earlier in the season.
Where at?
At home.
Okay. And this game is played at home again?
No.
Don't they always do the Big 12 champion?
Oh, yeah. It's
in,
is it Jerry's World?
I think
Cowboys,
it's Jerry's World.
Yeah. Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's, they're a sneaky one. Just because they've flown under the radar for so long, if they got in, it'd be kind of like, oh, wait. And I wonder if maybe there's a little part of Georgia that might overlook a team if it was Oklahoma State.
Not in a playoff.
I'm just saying, like, if it's Michigan, it's like, oh, it's Michigan. It's Bama. Oh, right. Like, Cincinnati might not have the firepower. But if it's Oklahoma State, it's like, who? Mike Gundy, that coach? Why? I'd like to see it.
If Oklahoma State wins and Cincinnati wins, though, do you think they keep Cincinnati at 4 and bump Oklahoma State up to 3?
Yeah, I do.
So you'd have Michigan, Oklahoma State, probably, and Georgia, Cincinnati.
Rematch of what bowl was that last year? Peach Bowl? I mean, I realized Georgia was, you know, limited, but that was a good game.
All right, what if Iowa beats Michigan, Georgia beats Alabama, Houston beats Cincinnati, Baylor beats Oklahoma State?
Notre Dame sneaks in.
So Ohio State in? That point?
No, not no, not
next.
No, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. Like, if Michigan loses, that has to hurt Ohio State. Like, they pounded you.
I mean, I guess Michigan could technically lose and still, like, it wouldn't Michigan still be the best Big Ten team, the highest rated Big Ten team to get in?
I think they should be.
They could be a 2-loss team and get in if some teams, if 3 and 4 in the rankings lose.
Okay, so Michigan could. Michigan would still get in. Alabama maybe still gets in.
So we're saying
Cincinnati.
I don't think Bama gets in with a loss.
Okay.
They haven't been that impressive this year.
That's true.
Did you see, like, if you go back 8 years, not including this year, Bama had like 3 games that they won by 1 score or less, and they've had 4. Mm. Or maybe it was just games total. Like, fans, of course, in Tuscaloosa are livid because this team's not as good. It's like they're kind of right, but it's also like you're spoiled brats.
Yeah, because they're still winning. I mean, they're still right there. They've still got a great shot. Anyway, to go back to my other question, Cincinnati, chance to win the national title. I do feel like this is – I mean, I know Georgia seems kind of invincible, but the but no one else – everyone else seems beatable. Like, this is a great year for kind of a Cinderella team to get in.
No, you're right.
Because there's only one team that really looks that way, and if your defense can play well, I mean, I do think if Georgia loses, it's probably going to be a game in the low 20s. You know, it's probably going to be because their offense doesn't play that great.
I mean, after Alabama, who's the most explosive offensive team in the top six? Top six. Because I don't think Ohio State or Ole Miss have a shot.
Cincinnati.
You think they're more so than Oklahoma State?
Yeah. I think
against a team like Georgia? Because you got to kind of...
Cincinnati's quarterback's better. Desmond Ridder's a stud.
No, he is. He's very good. Is their defense any good at all? They held Notre Dame to 13.
Cincinnati's? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Okay.
They're just...
They have one of the best secondaries in the country.
We just don't know how to rate them because they haven't played a big schedule. We don't know what... When they had their bad day this year, we didn't know about it because they played some, you know... American Athletic Conference team, and who knows? We'll see. Could be fun. Final segment.
Oh, it'll be fun.
Hour 2 next. Final segment, hour number 2, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at knoxvillesmiles.com and make your appointment. Man, it'd be a great year for a 12-team playoff.
Every year would be a great year for a 12-team playoff.
Mm-hmm. But no, I guess we'll
wait.
Wait, there's an actual report that Shane Beamer is a candidate for the Oklahoman job? I thought that was just...
Who's his agent?
Parody.
It should be parody. Mm-hmm. But I'd kind of be for it. Could you imagine? Lincoln Riley. Shane Beamer. I mean, he did improve South Carolina's win total by four games this year. Beat Florida. Beat Auburn. Both teams were, you know, checked out at the time.
Still.
24/7 sports. Brad Crawford. Multiple sources have said Shane Beamer's a target or a candidate.
I mean, I'd have him up there in the top three candidates for SEC Coach of the Year.
Really?
Top three?
Yeah. The dude was playing a grad transfer. I'd have Lane Kiffin, Kirby Smart, and Shane Beamer up there. I'm not saying he's a top 10 coach. I'm just saying the fact that he got South Carolina bowl eligible without a quarterback.
I mean, the guy that ended up winning all those games was on the roster the whole time. He didn't identify the right quarterback out of the gate.
I mean, I guess if we think Josh Heupel might actually go, I think Heupel and... I mean, I would go, let's see, Coach of the Year. This will be my order. Kirby Smart.
Yep.
Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Sam Pittman.
Yep.
Pittman?
Josh Heupel. Shane Beamer.
Beamer made a better case than Heupel did, in my opinion. Who did Heupel beat that he wasn't supposed to? Kentucky?
Yeah.
It's all about time and place, though. I mean, if Tennessee plays Auburn...
I think it's because I watched Beamer like almost lose to East Carolina and Troy.
We played Florida a week after they almost beat Bama, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they still had hope.
But I guess what I'm saying is they're kind of close, so maybe it's not too crazy.
I guess Arkansas had to go 8-4. It's a good year. They had a bad stretch of games. They lost 3 in a row. Probably should have beaten Ole Miss. And then hung with Bama. I'll give you Pittman. It's a good year. Slaughtered Texas, who's not very good. Beat A&M, who beat Bama.
Mm-hmm. West is tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go Mike Leach next.
Yeah, Beamer's way down there. IMO, JMO. And I don't know what his... Like, what is it that he does?
Culture, baby. A lot of love in that program.
Well, that's fine, and that's great. I feel like
I prefer Heupel is going to score a bunch of points.
Well, and like, you have a good culture here too. Like, it's not like, you know, our guys are killing each other,
right? But because Beamer has no other thing, like that's his thing.
Sure,
what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll see if he can recruit guys to Columbia, South Carolina. That's not an easy task. But that's supposed to be what he's good at.
BetSmart has let me know that Beamer did have the highest plus in terms of preseason win totals. They were projected at 3, 3.5, mm-hmm. and he got 2, 6.
That's kind of the point Davey was making.
But my point is, again, time and place. I mean, Bo Nix gets hurt. They get Auburn. Florida's in the tank.
That's the same Auburn team that up 10-0 on Bama in the fourth.
It's true.
Crazy.
Maybe that's it. Year. Auburn got caught looking ahead to Alabama.
Weird year.
It is. Maybe Bama had already started the Georgia prep. We'll know Saturday. All I know is I like where Tennessee's at. I think we're in a pretty good spot. And Beamer did, I guess, better than I expected, but again, it's all about when you play certain teams and what that team's kind of going through at the time. Yeah, he beat Florida. We should have beat Florida. There's something about that Florida game. And I don't know if it's what we saw them do against Alabama. Like, we went into that game and, well, we couldn't stop a running quarterback all year. That's really what happened. But they were still, you know, they thought they could win the SEC East at that point. Florida did. And then things quickly went downhill. And that was Hooker's second start? Right? Tennessee Tech, and then because he came in against Pitt, started against Tennessee Tech, and then Florida. So I don't think we had kind of settled into any kind of rhythm offensively and still hit, you know, two really big plays early.
Yeah, I mean, for Beamer, you can't, like, you can't argue with the record, and the record is the record, right? The wins are the wins.
Sure.
But, I mean, when you beat East Carolina by three and Vanderbilt by one.
But weren't they underdogs in that game?
Yeah, but I mean.
Eh, I'm just saying.
Still, I mean, you know, you close the season losing 30 to nothing to Clemson
home. I know.
Like, you just, yeah, I know they beat Auburn and Florida, but, I mean, they lost to Missouri. They.
Like, in between those or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, one name off the Oklahoma board is Mark Stoops. 7-year extension.
Well, did we get the contract totals on that?
I don't know.
Did you hear was it Josh Pate on the drive say that Kentucky's a great job because there's not as much pressure, you still get SEC dollars, and you can actually, you know, win a lot of games there?
It depends on what you mean by great job. Like, if your goal as a coach is to win a national championship, it's a terrible job.
Okay, yeah.
But if your goal is to just coach football, be around kids, make a lot of money, and live in Lexington, yeah, it's a great job. Sure. I mean, went 9-3, three losses to teams with a winning record. Only one win against a team with a winning record. That was Chattanooga. I mean, this is – I don't know if it has the numbers, but did you know for every 7-win season from now on under Stoops, he gets a year extension, 7 wins? I mean, think about that.
What?
If Tennessee said,
why?
Hey, Josh, every time you win 7, you get a year added to your – people would lose their minds. And rightfully so.
Hell, if you count the bowl game, even 8. Like, people would – mm-hmm. People don't want to go 8-4 here.
Wasn't that Fulmer's deal like at the end, towards the end? Like if you won 8,
I don't know.
8 wins got you a raise and an extension or something? It doesn't have the contract numbers, but apparently Mitch Barnhart gave Mark Stoops the, we are going to commit more money to Kentucky football, facilities, coaches, you know, upgrades, things like that.
That's good for us. And they could have went out and got a coach that could actually beat us.
Nah, I doubt it. I mean, this is their ceiling.
I mean, this is – yeah, I was going to say, like, I hear what you're saying because we've now beaten Kentucky's best two teams in Kentucky football history with a first-year coach in Heupel and
a moron.
A first-year coach in idiot boy Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, we only lose with coaches that are going to get fired to Kentucky.
Right.
That's a good point.
And, again, this was a really good Kentucky team. I mean, they proved that. They were a good team. They beat Florida, what, the week after we played them? Like, Florida wasn't dead yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't look good in that game. So, but no, I'm ecstatic. This Mark Stoops getting retained at Kentucky is kind of like every time Florida extends Mike White.
Yep.
It's like, okay, I can live with that. Yeah, he might sneak up and get you every now and then, but you're not really worried about him becoming some kind of superpower.
Yep, exactly. Hour 3 next.